This is Maturepreneurial with Elaine Benoit, episode 010. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Maturepreneurial podcast, where we are dedicated to inspire, educate, and help you take the plunge to start your own entrepreneurial endeavor. We interview older entrepreneurs at different levels of success because at each level, there are always lessons to be learned. Our motto is, it is never too late to succeed. My guest today is Bruce Langford. He is the host and producer of the Mindfulness Mode podcast. Bruce interviews individuals to find out how they have brought mindfulness into their lives and how they have benefited from it. Years ago, Bruce was a teacher, and in 2003, he saw the need to introduce an anti-bullying presentation to the schools. He tailored his presentation to the ages of the children watching it. He has impacted numerous children's lives, from elementary school to the end of middle school. His presentation was so successful that he left his teaching job to present this program full-time. I'm very excited to have Bruce on the show today. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, Lane, this is awesome. I am really pumped up to talk to you, too. So thank you for inviting me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm pleased to have you here. Bruce, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and so the readers can meet you?
Yes, absolutely. I think of myself as a creative person. When I had a chance to take what I wanted to take in university, what I wanted to take was music. And I took that and I thought a lot about what would I do with it. And then when I graduated, I decided to become a teacher. And I loved teaching music. It was really great. It was kind of exciting. It was the kind of topic you can teach where you teach the students how much fun it is, how it will add to their entire life. It's not just something while you're in school. This is something that will really benefit you for your entire life. So I loved teaching it. What I didn't love, Elaine, was the kind of politics, the red tape, all the stuff of being a teacher. You know, you got to fill out these forms. You got to do this stuff in the curriculum. Not that I didn't want to follow the curriculum, but whoa, there were a lot of meetings I had to go to that really had nothing to do with me as a music teacher or my students. And so after a while, I started to see that, well, there was something that really bothered me, and that was I saw kids that were being picked on, kids that were being bullied, and I thought, you know what? They should not have to go to school and go through this and be picked on. This is not a safe zone for these kids. And so I decided to do something about it, and that's kind of the next thing. I put together an anti-bullying presentation. So, I mean, I never looked back because it was so much fun. It was exciting. It was rewarding. It was a whole new transition for me in my life.
How many years ago did you do this anti-bullying?
Well, that was 2003.
Wow. So that was way before it's been in the forefront in the news, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's right. That's right. It wasn't in the forefront. And I was in my early 40s. And I guess, you know, some people would think, well, geez, you know, at that age, are you going to start something new? Well, I probably thought that, but not that much. I mean, I was just so passionate about the whole idea. And I thought, yeah, I can definitely do this. And I sent out letters. The first thing I did was I thought, I want this to be a musical program. I want it to be different and really grab the attention of the kids. And I mean, there were not anti-bullying programs out there to speak of, but I wanted it, when I say I wanted it to be different, I wanted it to be different than any other kind of presentations that I saw coming into the school. I didn't want it to be dull, boring. It can't be just like me standing at the front talking to kids. I thought, you know, it's got to have impact. I know I'll be a DJ. I'll come to your school and we'll do a live radio show. I'll be ATFM radio and we'll be talking about the subject of bullying. We'll get callers. We'll have call-ins. Then we'll go to commercial. We'll talk about it. Then I'll sing songs. I'll play an instrument and all the songs and so on. They'll all have concepts about bullying. I'll teach that through the music. And then we'll go to commercial and talk about it. And what did you learn from that song? And I'll give out prizes because I'm a radio station, right? So I did all this kind of stuff and just had so much fun with it. And I thought, you know what? Also, I want to be active. I want to be fit. I don't want to be a person that's all tense and uptight like you sometimes get with a desk job. You sort of don't get that activity and exercise you need. So I'm going to build exercise right into my program. So I did. I had student volunteers and we did all this active stuff. And I mean, kids love to be active. So then I was just as active as they were. And I still do these programs sometimes. But for many years, I did 4 a week. I did full days and I'd travel off somewhere and do these presentations two or three a day, sometimes 4 in a day. And it was a great, great opportunity to share what I knew about bullying and how to help kids understand that, you know, the basis of this is respect. You need to learn, not you need to learn, but it helps us, you know, it helps you be the person you really want to be if you can understand what respect even means. And if we can help children understand that it's fun to be respectful and enjoyable to be a respectful person, then bullying just automatically will decline.
That's very true. So you quit your job as a music teacher and did this?
Well, what I did was I asked my principal if I could go half time. So I was a full-time music teacher and had been for a long time. And she said, well, I'll tell you what, you can teach every other day. We'll get another teacher in to teach your opposite days. You teach every other day, and then you go out and do these programs. And so I did. Every other day I was on the road, going to various schools, various locations, doing keynote addresses, talking to parents. And then on the other day, I was back in the school doing my thing. So that went on for 2 years. And then I realized, wow, I mean, there are so many people trying to book me and they're really sold on what I'm doing and I'm doing well financially. It's so exciting. Like, it wasn't hard to transition. And I thought, well, I need to just move full time into this. And so I did. I made the decision to take an early retirement and I moved full time into this. And it was just really, really exciting.
You know, Bruce, that is so inspiring. It's funny, the whole time you were telling me the story, I was smiling. I was just sitting here smiling
really?
About it. Yeah, it was just that is just so great. Because, I mean, just empowering kids to realize they don't have to be bullied and empowering kids who would bully to not understand it all.
Yeah, it really is empowering. And the cool thing was I started being invited back to schools, of course. You know, I'd been there once, I was invited back. And at first I was a little bit nervous because I thought, wow, they've already seen this. And, you know, like, I'm the same character. I'm this alter ego. I'm Benny DL, the DJ, and I'm acting a bit silly, a bit zany. But what will it be like the second time? Well, I'll tell you, like, I walked in, I'm all set up in the auditorium, and the students are like, oh, it's Benny DL again. Oh, wow, this is great. Oh, I remember your song, such and such. And they're like singing the songs and they're so excited. And I'm like, well, of course, it's a no-brainer. I mean, kids love watching movies over and over again. And I mean, I started with Stand Up for Respect. Sorry, I started with Stand Up Against Bullying. That was my very first show. Then I created Stand Up for Respect. Then I did a program called Cyberbullying Got to Go. So I had all these different programs. So I would go back. I would still be the same character, Benny DL, but I was doing a different program. So, I mean, everybody loved it. It was the teachers loved it, the kids loved it, and it was just a way to really share my message. So it wasn't any time at all I realized, well, I don't need to be nervous or uptight about going back. It's even more fun when you go back and present to the same students. So it was super exciting, and it still is.
How old are the kids that you're teaching or that go to this?
The students would be kindergarten to eighth grade.
That's awesome.
And yeah. And so when I would go to the school, I would split it up into 3 assemblies. I would do 1 presentation for the very young ones, kindergarten to second or kindergarten to third grade. Then I would have the 4, 5, and 6s in another assembly. And then I would have another assembly that would be like way more like, you know, more grown up, you know, for the older ones, the middle school age students, usually the grade 7 and 8 ones. And so then I had these 3 different presentations, and teachers love that, and so do the students, because you really need to have that. I mean, there's so much difference between someone in second grade and, say, someone in sixth grade. You know, it's just totally different.
Yeah, exactly. Did you, when you did it for the seventh and eighth grades, did you get a lot of participation?
Yeah, I did, but I did a very different thing because I didn't do the Benny DL DJ thing so much with them. I said, hey, you know, you guys are so much more grown up. This is what I do with the younger kids. But now we're going to talk about this in a serious way. It's going to be like Q&A, but we're going to have videos. We're going to have role plays. We're going to talk about all the strategies that you can use. And of course, you guys are, you're the ones that set up the tone of the school for the younger students. And, you know, you kind of talk to them like that and help them understand that they really are the role models in the school. And it's true. And then they would really feed into this. And they were like, yeah, we are. We're really looked up to. And they would really love to learn the concepts about how they could help to make the school a better place and improve the school climate there.
It's so great. You know, Bruce, I have to tell you, I'm getting little tingles or little goosebumps on my arms because it's just so great because, you know, most kids that age, they don't know what to do, you know,
yeah,
and
it's
so
true.
And you're telling them what to do or giving them direction. And
I'm giving
you know,
them direction. Yeah, that's right.
Instead of telling, I didn't mean to really say that, but you know, it is, you're giving them direction and they're, you know, they're taking it. They're taking the pride of, oh, yeah, these kids look up to me. That's just so awesome. One thing I wanted to ask you. So you did this since 2003, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So did you have kids in the same thing, but then they've graduated to the other presentation and then graduated to the other presentation? You know, like
many, many times.
That is great. Did you talk to them after that? Like to see?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times they would talk to me. I mean, I remember one school, the sevens and eights, like they were so excited that at the end they jumped up, they chanted, they raved, they just went crazy. Like it was like a mob. I'm like, these are grade seven and eight students. They don't normally act like this, you know? And some of them just converged on me and they're like, oh, you know, it's so much fun that you came back. It's so great to see you and tell us some of the new songs you're working on and show us some of the new videos. And they like, don't go yet. You know, they wanted me to share all these things with them because they had seen me since they were young. They were in kindergarten, grade one, grade two. They had seen me through those years and they were just really connected.
Wow, then that is so great. That must have made you feel really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm sure you must be quite a performer.
Well, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I really, and the funny thing was, I'd never done acting before. I mean, I'd been a music teacher and loved music, but acting, it was just something that I had never really gotten into. And then I wasn't long before I realized, man, I'm an actor. I'm doing this thing. I'm an actor. And sometimes like I'd be waiting like backstage and I'd have some of the bigger schools. Sometimes I'd have 800 or 900 out there, you know, waiting. There'd be like huge crowds, at least huge to me, you know, 900 kids. And I'd be like kind of nervous and thinking, okay, how's this going to go? And then I'm like, no, just relax, Bruce. It's going to be fine. Just go out there, have fun. And, you know, you only have to remember what you're doing in this moment. You only have to remember your line right now. You don't have to remember the whole entire song. You just remember the line that you're singing right now, right?
Exactly.
It was a funny thing. Like one day that concept came to me because I thought, I have to memorize everything. I have to have everything in my head. Well, no, not really. I just have to know what I'm doing right this second. And that's kind of what took me into my transition into mindfulness because I started to realize, because of course I was traveling to all these schools and I had an assistant who drove and an assistant that set up all my equipment and tore down my equipment and helped me with lights and everything. So I was listening to a lot of podcasts and learning from a lot of other people. And I was writing my blog at the same time as we were driving, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I started to realize, wow, you know, like this is really about living in the moment. And if you can teach children what that even means, that not to be so stressed out about the past, not to be so stressed out about the future, then bullying will just kind of disappear. It'll vaporize because everybody's just kind of thinking about the moment and focusing on, you know, not judging others. That's part of mindfulness. And then I just started to really, really be passionate about the concept of mindfulness. And I wanted to teach mindfulness to children. And so I did. I just started integrating mindfulness into my programs until then I had a mindfulness program. So I integrated, you know, bullying meets mindfulness, you know, and so that I did that program. And then I started my podcast about mindfulness, Mindfulness Mode. And every time I interview an entrepreneur or a famous person or an everyday person, whoever it is, I ask them a question about bullying. You know, were you ever bullied? Do you ever have a bullying story where, you know, mindfulness would have made a difference? Because people don't automatically see the connection, but there's a huge connection there. If you really understand mindfulness, then bullying probably won't be such an issue, and you probably won't carry out those bullying behaviors toward other people. It just isn't part of mindfulness.
Right, because you're in the present.
Right.
One thing that's kind of interesting, but I'd like to get back to this mindfulness, is I was talking to my husband about, because he's very much into mindfulness, and I am too, but he has read a bunch of books about it. And one of the things that I said to him, I said, I think the most I think about mindfulness is when I'm on stage, because I'm an actress. And when I'm on stage, that's when I'm the most present.
Right.
It's because I'm just there. I'm just listening to the other actor. I'm not thinking, what's my next line? It'll just come naturally because I'm present.
That's true, really true. So it's cool that you've got that concept, and it really does help you in your day-to-day life too, doesn't it, Elaine?
It certainly does. That's one of the things I like, and I try not to live in the past, but sometimes it just creeps in, you know, but I just keep trying to say, okay, that's the past. You can't do anything about it. Let's just go forward.
Right.
So you started your podcast. When did you start it?
I started it last year, August 24th, 2015. So I'm, 24th. I'm almost at a year. I'm almost, you know, I'm getting there. I'm, you know, it's just so much fun doing the podcast, connecting with so many people. And at first I interviewed two people a week, had two shows a week, and I really loved doing that. And then someone said to me, Bruce, you know, as listeners, we're really not getting to know you. You know, we want to get to know you more. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, that seems reasonable enough. So then I started a weekend show. So every weekend I would have a different kind of a show, which was either a lot of times just me, and sometimes I would invite a past guest and I'd be talking about a certain aspect of mindfulness, and then I'd just chat casually with my past guest. Now, for the last few weeks, it's been just me, because sometimes I like just thinking of a story, you know, thinking of something that happened in my past and just telling the story, talking about it, and talking about how it relates to mindfulness. Like the story I just told about, you know, when I was a kid on the farm and I was helping my dad and my brothers to harvest the hay, you know, to bale hay and put it in the barn. And I talked all about driving the tractor and how, hey, actually, that was a mindfulness thing. You know, I had to focus so much on keeping that tractor exactly in the right place and not straying, you know, because if you did, then the baler wouldn't pick up the hay and you'd be in trouble. And, you know, you had to focus. But at the same time as I focused on that one thing, as long as I did that, then I was aware of what I could do with my mind. I could sing a song in my mind while I did that, you know, this kind of thing. So I talked about the mindfulness of doing that. So I think it's just like different stories people relate to.
Yeah, definitely. And it's fun listening to stories about people, I think. You know, it makes you curious. I'm always curious about people's stories.
Yes, me too.
So when you started your entrepreneurial ventures, did you consider them entrepreneurial, or did you just say, okay, this is going to be my new job, if you will, going to schools and teaching about anti-bullying?
That is so funny you ask that, because I don't even know if I knew the word entrepreneur.
Really?
I don't even know if I knew that word. I was just like, I'm a teacher. Okay, so now I'm going to do this. And I really didn't even worry about it or stop to think. I just kind of thought, I'm just going to do it, you know, and I was just busy implementing it. And like I said, I sent out these letters. I didn't have the program. I just had the idea for the program. I thought, wow, I can do this thing, because I was so inspired by a student that I saw. He was so left out. He was so ostracized by the other students at the school. And I was like on yard duty standing there looking at this kid, athletic, smart, everything going for him. And yet he's over leaning against the wall, looking unhappy, while the other kids are over having fun playing basketball. And I'm like, what is the matter? Like, what's wrong with this picture? And when I ask about it, it's like, well, he's being bullied. I'm like, what? Well, yeah, it's because of his accent. I said, what accent? I know him. He's in my AV club. Like, I know this boy. He doesn't have an accent. And they're like, oh, you listen, you'll hear it. And then, okay, so he had a very minor speech impediment on certain words. And so that's why he was being picked on. So I talked to him and I tried to help him. And I said, you know what? I want to help not only you, but I want to help a lot more people than you. And I said, you know what? How about if you would be in a video? Would you consider being in a video and just sharing your story and talking about how it really feels to be bullied? Because I could put a program together to share with other students in other schools, and having you in that video, that would be a real way to connect. And he said, oh, Mr. Langford, I don't think so. I couldn't do that. I could never say all that stuff. And two or three days later, he came back to me and he said, Mr. Langford, I've been thinking about this so much. And he said, if I could make a difference in one other kid's life who is being bullied, he said, it would be worth it. He said, I'm going to do it. And so I hired a videographer. We went and we shot like an hour of footage, and we edited it all down into 3 minutes of the most impactful comments that this boy made about how he felt and what it was like going to school and his thoughts about all of this. And it's been seen by over 100,000 middle school students who have been impacted as well, all because he was willing to be vulnerable. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. So I sent out those letters and got all this feedback. And then I thought, oh, I've got to create this program. So I had 2 months. I had July and August to create the program. And I did. And then September came and I had all these bookings and I was out there. And at first, I got to tell you, Elaine, I was scared.
I'm sure.
You know, I had never been on stage. I had never acted. I mean, I'd done lots of performing with music on stage in that form. But anyway, I thought, well, I'm just doing it. I'm scared or not, I'm doing it. Here I am. And I thought, every time I thought, okay, I could improve this. We could get lighting that would make it more impactful. We could do more with the sound. We can do more with, like, put a big banner up. We can do this. We can do that. You know, I'll do more with my videos. And I just kept adding to it until, you know, I had a lot of equipment to take and set up beforehand, and so that it really was obviously a polished performance. And a principal one day, I remember this, I had just finished my program and the principal just rushed right up to me and she said, I have 3 words for you. She says, 3 words. I said, what's that? She says, it was seamless.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, that's funny, because I wasn't really going for seamless. Like, I wasn't even thinking in terms of that. But I know kids, and I know you can't have wait around time. You know, you can't have, oh, just a minute and we'll sing another song. You know,
yeah, right.
You can't do that. It has to kind of go click, 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 right from one thing to another. But this principal identified that and gave me that feedback. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good that it comes across that way as being seamless.
That is so wonderful. I have to say, Bruce, I'm still smiling. I've been smiling this whole entire time. My cheeks are starting to hurt. And the story about the kid that made the video,
yes,
that was so inspiring. So inspiring. I actually had a little tears in my eyes because I'm a marshmallow, and I had goosebumps. You know, that was just so wonderful. I'm so glad you told that story.
Well, it is exciting when things happen, you know, and things do happen every day. And if we see them as stories that you can share, then it is impactful, but sometimes it's tricky. You know, things happen and you're like, okay, what was the value in that? How could I really share that? I mean, like the day I was filming a video, I was always thinking of, you know, okay, I'm filming these different videos. It's got to be interesting. So this one day I'm like, okay, I'll go to a skateboard park. I'll create this script. You know, it's going to be a little scenario with the skateboarders and then, you know, the bullying thing. And then this is what they did. And, you know, and this will grab the attention of the kids. So we arranged it all. We hired an actor. We went to the skateboard park. And so we just started doing the video, Elaine. And this girl came walking over to me. And she's like, so what's happening? Like, what's going on here in the park? And I'm like, well, we're, you know, I do this programs about respect. And this is what we're doing. And, you know, if you want to watch, you know, like, go ahead. And she sat down with this guy and the two of them. And they watched the whole thing. When we were finished videoing, the girl said, hey, Bruce, hey, come here. I want to talk to you. And I thought, I wonder what she wants to ask me. And I wonder what she has to say. I went over and she says, I got to tell you. She says, we just moved here. We lived 11 hours away by car. And she said, the school I used to go to, the high school, she said, well, there was this girl. She kind of walked funny. She kind of talked funny. And I started picking on her. And she says, I was pretty mean to her. And then my friends were too. And so we were all so mean to that girl, like over and over every day. Like it was just what we did. It was just something we did. But she says, now that I've moved away and I see what you're doing, she says, I feel really terrible about what we did to that girl. She says, I was just thinking, could you maybe make a video of me telling kids how it really honestly feels to have done this stuff? And I said to the videographers, get the cameras out. We're going to shoot a video. And I just scribbled down four or five quick questions. And we did this video right there on the spot. That video closes my respect program for the intermediate students, for the middle school students. And wow, they're like, honestly, she's not an actor. I'm like, no, she's not an actor. And I tell them that story I just told you. And they're like, oh, wow. Yeah, that would be a terrible feeling to have been so mean to somebody. And they get it because it's coming from an actual person who did this cruel, mean bullying.
It's amazing. It must be so impactful. I wonder how, you know, I wonder if she ever tried to reach out to the girl and said, sorry, you know, because she probably just didn't realize what she was doing, you know?
Right, exactly. Like she was a kid, right?
Right.
You know, like we learn, we're on a journey. It's all about a journey, and it's all about realizing that, you know, we've all come from different places. We all have different backgrounds, different reasons that we do the things we do. We can change. We can transition into being a different kind of person, but we also need to have a level of empathy and understanding, even for those who do these bullying behaviors, because, you know, sometimes they're bullying because they have been bullied, maybe by their parents, maybe by their brothers or sisters or whatever. And some of them just think that's just what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just the way life is.
Yep, learned behavior, because they feel bad about themselves. So then they feel a little bit better when they bully, or, you know, I'm assuming that's what they're thinking.
That's right.
Wow. So it sounds like everything that you've done has been really successful. Has there been anything that you started that you said to yourself, oh, this isn't working. How am I going to do something different?
Oh, Elaine, wow, that's so funny, because no, everything I've done hasn't always worked. I can tell you that. I've made mistakes. I've struggled. But you know what? I just thought, well, that isn't working, so I'm doing something else. I'm doing this. And I can tell you one thing. Like back in 2003, like I said, I sent out letters, and I'm talking snail mail. You know, mm-hmm. I sent out actual letters to schools saying, you know, this is what I'm proposing. You know, here's a poster of it. The program hasn't been created, but if it were, would you hire me, sort of thing? Well, I mean, obviously, then I was getting into email. You know, like I created websites even back in the 90s. But the thing was, you know, email wasn't huge at that time. And then so I'm like, oh, yeah, I can email people. So then I just emailed schools, principals. I built lists. I had 3,000 or 4,000 on my list. And I just emailed them. And I'd say, hey, by the way, I have this program. Would you like to have me in? Or I'd say, you know, I was at your school last year. Would you like me to come in again? All this kind of thing. And And this was getting to be my comfort zone. If I needed more bookings, I'm like, oh, I guess tomorrow, you know, I'll send out an email. And then, you know, I'd send out this email and it would be like ping, ping, ping. Like within 10, 15 minutes, I'd probably be booked for the next 2 months.
Wow.
That's what it was like. And I mean, it was looking back, I think, wow, that was easy. Well, it wasn't easy. I mean, I was finding my way. I was a pioneer. I didn't go online to some webinar to learn how to do that because there were no webinars out there, right?
Right. Did they even have webinars back then in 2003?
They didn't have, like, I just created lists because I'm like, okay, I'll create lists. I'll figure out how to do that. I'll figure out people's email addresses. I'll add them to this list. There were no rules. You were making your way. Then what happened was a couple of years later, I don't know, 3 or 4 years later, I noticed, wow, I'm sending out these messages and I'm not really getting any response. Like, what's happening? And then I'm talking to people and they're like, oh, well, there's these, you know, firewalls and I'm like, what? like, oh yeah, the school boards are putting up firewalls because they're getting a lot of emails and, you know, you can't just email out like that. Those emails aren't getting there. You have to get found. I'm like, what? You have to get found? Like, what do you mean? Yeah, you have to like blog and you have to do things online so that people will find you instead of you're sending out. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what? And like, not that I had anything against the idea of blogging, but I just thought, oh, like, I want to sing the songs to stop. I want to be out there being creative and presenting. I don't want to spend all kinds of time in front of a computer. And I had this terrible sinking feeling, Elaine. Like, I just thought, oh my gosh, like, this is like the whole world is changing. This is all falling apart. I can't send out my emails anymore. Oh no. And it was really, really hard to get through that. I was so discouraged. But I did start a blog. You know, different people said start a blog. And so I did. And I blogged, I don't know, I think 2 or 3 times a week. And I blogged regularly. And some days I had no idea what to write about, but I did anyway. And I'd be like, well, I'm at this school today. And, you know, we were really talking about, you know, racism a lot because, you know, this, you know, I just chat, right? Mm-hmm. Just chat on my blog about whatever we did that day. And then I'd start to get these emails or phone calls and be like, oh, this is national news, you know, in Toronto or something like this. And we're CBC. We want to put you on the evening news to comment about this such and such story that happened today. You know, someone was bullied and this thing happened and all this. And I'm like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you're really the anti-bullying guy in Ontario, in Canada, aren't you? I'm like, yeah, that's right. I am, you know, it's because, you know, my blog, like they were finding me online. They were Googling, you know, bullying in Toronto, Canada or whatever it was. And I'm the one that was coming up. And for a long time, when you Googled, you know, anti-bullying programs, I was right at the top of Google.
Wow.
You know, the first 6 or 8 entries were all programs, my blogs, all my stuff. So then I realized it was because of my blog and I just needed to keep doing it and move forward. And then one day I got an email and it said from St. Thomas, we would like to have you come, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there's a St. Thomas, Ontario near where I live. So this city that I'd been to many of the schools. And I thought, okay, well, I wonder what school this is. And I'm looking, it's like, oh, St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands.
Oh my God.
St. Thomas. Like, oh, okay. So they invited me to teach all the schools on the island about anti-bullying. And then I taught private school. So I went there. They put me up at an all-expenses-paid resort. And I went to private schools. I went to their schools. And it was so exciting. And it was all because of my blog. Because
that's amazing.
They found me online. Like,
How long did they have you there?
I was there for about 2 weeks or so.
Wow. That must have been so much fun.
It was. It was really exciting. I mean, like everything, you know, I mean, there were aspects of it that were scary. You know, I was like, I'd start off in the morning and I would go on their little shuttles or whatever, public transit kind of things. And they would go into the downtown. And I remember I'd be like carrying these heavy cases because I had like my props and my books and different things. And I said, well, so where's the school? And they say, well, we can't drive up that hill. You'll have to walk up there.
Oh, gosh.
You know, and I'd look up this hill and there'd be like roosters and, you know, goats and, you know, and all this. And I'd walk up the hill and then eventually I'd get there and it's like the doors were locked and, well, they're not, you know, the staff hasn't come to the school yet, but they'll get there soon. And then I'd go in and set up my projector and set up my microphone. And then they're like, oh, this was so exciting. This was so much fun. Oh, we want to have you back next year. Can you come back? And like, it was really fun in a different kind of a way. But what you learn is kids are kids everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, bullying is bullying. And you can really help. You can help kids and adults understand these concepts so that the whole dynamic will change. The whole mindset will change where everyone or almost everyone in that school community will start to want bullying to be reduced. They don't want that in their environment. They want to change. And so where does it start to change? With you, with that one person, with you, not the person sitting beside you, not the person behind you. You are the one that can start that change. And then students would get that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. You are just such an inspiring person. This is the most inspired interview I've had.
Are you serious? Elaine?
I am serious.
So much.
Really, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. How can people give me your websites for everybody to be able to find you online?
Well, lately I've been really focusing on the mindfulness and my podcast and everything, and that is at mindfulnessmode.com. mindfulnessmode.com. And so my other website is Stand Up Now, because my business is called Stand Up Now, and it's standupnow.ca, because CA stands for Canada, of course, and that's where I am. But standupnow.ca, and I have some of the schools on there I've gone to and a few different things. And you know, it's so exciting, Elaine, that you reached out to me to ask me to be on your terrific show, because it is exciting to, you know, transition from a mainstream job into, you know, something as an entrepreneur. And actually, it's funny because I received an email one day and it says, we're looking for entrepreneurs who left mainstream jobs to move into entrepreneurship. And would you like to be in this book? This is Brian Tracy's team. And Brian Tracy, if you're listening and you don't know who he is, he's written about 40 bestseller books and he's a great trainer and everything else. So Brian put together a book and it features chapters with various entrepreneurs. And so he said, just write a sample chapter and send it in. So I did. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'll send my chapter. I'm sure, you know, they'll never want me in their book. You know? That's funny. And then lo and behold, I received an email back. Yes, we want you with your exciting story about anti-bullying to be in the book. So I'm in the book, Cracking the Success Code with Brian Tracy. And I'm on the cover of my version, because what they did was they did a version for each person who did a chapter, and then you get your picture on the cover with Brian Tracy. And I got to meet Brian and talk to him about bullying and what his opinions were and everything. And by the way, if it's okay with you, Elaine,
of course,
I would be thrilled to give your listeners an e-copy of the book. Would that be okay?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
All you have to do is go to Stand Up. Well, no, just a minute. I'll change that. Go to mindfulnessmode.com/cracking, the word cracking, because the book is called Cracking the Success Code. And if you do that and then you enter your name and email address, you will receive the book. And as a bonus, you'll be on my mailing list. And if you're okay with that, then I'll send out a few mindfulness tips and things. And if you're not, you just hit unsubscribe. Simple as that. So, you know, it's awesome to be connected with your listeners, Elaine.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing that for my listeners. That is so awesome.
My pleasure.
Well, I just want to tell you, Bruce, I have thoroughly enjoyed this interview.
Well, I have too. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you.
Me too. And so thank you so much for being on Maturepreneurial, and I hope you have a great day.
I will. Thanks again. Bye now.
That was Bruce Langford from Mindfulness Mode. If you would like to check out the show notes with the questions and links to everything mentioned in this episode, go to maturepreneurial.com/010. Thank you so much for listening to the Maturepreneurial podcast. We'd love it if you would subscribe to the show and sign up for our mailing list. And if you enjoyed our show, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It would help us out a great deal because the more reviews we have, the better our standings are, which will help us get our message out to more budding entrepreneurs like you. Also, if you're looking for great, easy food and drink recipes, head on over to our food blog at dishesdelish.com. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week.